believe.
Brother Carlton Chandler needs no introduction to most of us. I think most of us have well known and appreciate his services in the past. And I'm sure he'll. The introduction of his subject is developing the three C's.
Thank you, Brother Milroy and Brother Evans, for that prayer. And my dear brethren, along with what Brother Krupa has already said, we too are indeed grateful to be with you here in Palo Alto again this year. Sister Catherine and I have looked forward to it, and as we do to being with all of the Lord's people at every place and every opportunity. Your brethren in Portland love you and desire that their love be sent to you here. The majority are well, but as you well know, the trials and the difficulties of the way avail on all of the Lord's people. And so there too, we've had our share of ups and downs. We recently lost a brother, Schuster, and in our class, an old-timer who was a wonderful follower of the Lord. And each of us are getting just a little bit older, but rejoicing each and every day in the Lord's providences. And as we have begun another year in the Lord and in the school of Christ, it is, as we would all expect of us, we would want to develop those things which would be pleasing to the Heavenly Father and would help to make our calling and election sure. To be successful in any endeavor, we have to work at it. When one starts in to school, he starts with the basics, as the three R's, the reading, the writing, and the arithmetic. He develops into the higher education until finally graduation, if his determination or her determination is to do so from this school. And our determination is to do the same, to graduate from the school of Christ, to be with the Lord, and to be His instruments used, not only in the blessing of all of the families of the earth, but in whatever endeavor He so desires. We want to talk just a little bit about the three C's in our life, because we think, for ourselves at least, we found that we need these three C's. And these are commitment, communication, and care. You have to commit yourself to be successful. We want to emphasize that. To be successful in any endeavor, you have to commit yourself. And following this, you have to be a good communicator. And if you don't care about your communications or your commitment, you will not succeed. In Job 5:8, we read, "I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause." Here is our desire. Here is our beginning point, so to speak, is this commitment to give all to the Heavenly Father. Why would we want to do this? Why would we want to seek God? Well, first of all, we believe that the answer would be obvious in that He is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. If we do commit our cause to Him, we must be assured that in God's will, He is taking note of us, and that He will give us just what all of us need. He will answer our prayers. We determine, we purpose this, that God will hear and answer. So we see then that we need trust in the one that we commit our cause to. We need confidence in Him that He will give us only those things which are best for our interests, and then we give everything to Him. We commit our all to Him. But you can do something, you can commit yourself without doing it willingly. There are many causes that people commit themselves to, and some are not done willingly. But if we take a look at God's people, all down through the Bible, we see that there was this committal, first of all, to the doing of God's will. We think of Noah. When God told him to build this ark, we must wonder what went through his mind. But he didn't parlay it over and say, well, come back in 3 days and I'll give you an answer whether I'll do it or not. He did it. He willingly committed himself to the Father. And we can't imagine, probably, all of the problems that that man encountered in building this ark. In our committal, we give our all. We like to use Romans 12:1 in or through because it's a consecration text that we have always used in the past. But when we consider this text and what it's really telling us, we can see that what God is asking through the apostle is a committal. A full committal of one's self. He says, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is a logical, reasonable service. And it is. We have found it so. And again, in Psalms, the 27th chapter, verse 8, we read these words, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. This was a heart matter. With all of you, and we trust with ourselves, that when we said we would seek God's face, we would seek it fully. But no committal is done without a purpose. We ask God to give us this purpose in committing our lives unto Him. And so he has. He says, those he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So we have this basis for our committal. Again, the psalmist tells us in Psalms 37 and 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. So we see this committal, this trust, this assurance, which is necessary if we're going to have a successful walk in Christ. And then we must commit ourselves to the truth. When we commit ourselves to the truth, it means that we will come into harmony with everything that is upright and honest and in tune with God's character and his plans. We read the prayer again in the 25th Psalm, verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. I dare say that if we did not commit ourselves to the truth, if we did not ask God to help us to fully commit ourselves to the truth, again, we would not be successful. Committal to the truth means we'll seek it. In John 5 and 39, we read, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But how can one not make a full committal to the truth without searching for it, searching for its verity? In doing this searching, we're told to divide the truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, being a workman, needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. And this word dividing means to making a straight cut, the word of truth. We quote from the pastor, truth rightly divided and fairly presented commands the respect even of its opponents, unquote. But what are we to do with this truth once we have committed ourselves to it, once that we have rightly divided it? We are to speak it, and speak it in love. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into him, which is the head, even Christ. So if we do all of the above, that is, if we search, if we rightly divide, if we speak the truth in love, we will become established in the truth. 2 Peter 1:12. All of us want to be like some of those mentioned in the scriptures. As an example, in 2 John 4, we read, I rejoiced greatly that I found thy children walking in the truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. You know what walking does? It gives you progress. Then we read in 3 John 3, the third verse, For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. He's talking about Gaius here. Even as thou walkest in the truth. Could this be said of me? I hope so. I'm sure that it could be said of you, that you could have others see your progress and that you are walking in the truth. And then there's a further point to our committal. We have our committal to the Father, we have it to the truth, and we must have it to the brethren. In Ephesians 5 and 21, we read, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Perhaps we never thought of submitting ourselves to others as a committal. Yet, even in this development of love, this grace of giving place to each other is one of the finest attributes that we can gain. We must give to one another where we can see some good can be accomplished. We read from Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Now, from the Weymouth translation of this fourth verse, each fixing his attention, not simply on one's own interests, but on the interests of others. In the fifth verse of this second chapter of Ephesians, we read this famous quotation, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is the purpose. Jesus had this kind of a disposition of giving. In 1 Peter 5:5, yea, all of you be subject to one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. In Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 10, the Apostle Paul has a sweet way of saying the same thing. He says, be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Brethren, as I studied that text, I had to ask myself honestly, have I, or do I, lovingly, as it says, am I kindly affectioned, first of all, with this brotherly love? And would I, under even adverse conditions, prefer another to my own interests? Some of our brethren are not here in 1987 that were here in 1986. And that may be true of us by the time this year is over with. Now is the time that we cast our flowers for the living, not upon the dead. Communication is our second C. I know a little about communication, being in the industry for 32 years. And it means the exchange of meanings between individuals. It is who says what to whom and with what effect. Why do we communicate? The point in using words in speech is to be understood. That's the purpose. The notion of saying something is inseparably tied to such concepts as belief, intention, knowledge, and understanding. In Galatians 6:6, we read this: let him that is taught in the word communicate with him that teacheth in all good things. This communication, rightly stated then, means a sharing or distributing one to another. But in all good things. So we can see that some communication is not good. And this is true. 2 Timothy 2 says, avoid foolish and unlearned questions, knowing that they gender strife. In our Galatians text, when we come together for study or discussion on Bible topics, or for that matter, on any communication, there should be free discussion based upon tolerance. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 16, we read, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, that's the point, it's a sacrifice. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. This communication is likened to entering into a partnership. It is to have fellowship one with another. Actually, the majority of us are poor communicators. We lack this as brethren when our communication one with the other breaks down. We don't have that fellowship then, do we? Well, how do we go about communicating? Really, we don't do it very well. You know, we can call long distance on the telephone. We can write letters that span continents. Yet we can fail in our conversation one with the other 3 feet away. It's true. When we communicate, we share. Philemon was a good example to the brethren. In Philemon 6, Paul says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We must share our faith one with another. To share will mean that we will give and we will take. In 1987, I asked myself that I might become a better communicator. We can share in various ways, brethren. We share by the printed page. We share by radio, television, telephone, conventions, home gatherings, studies, personal visits, all methods of sharing, communicating. Is there anything that can keep us from communication? Yes. Pride? Envy? Fear of being misunderstood? Maybe a fear that the other person may be right. There was two men. One was about to be made king of Israel, who had a conversation one with another, and they failed in that conversation, and because of it, that one little act of a face-to-face communication, there was a split in the 12 tribes of Israel. You know that. That's found in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, and it's about Rehoboam and Jeroboam. How do we overcome this spirit? Well, when one is speaking, what is important? It's important that we listen. But listening doesn't stop there. We have to listen with understanding. We must realize that communication is a two-way street. We give, we take, and we consider. Then, our last of our three C's deals with caring. God cares. He tells us over and over that He hasn't forgotten us. He cares for us. He knows our needs. He knows them even before we're thinking them. We're told in 1 Peter 5:7 to cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And I'm glad of that. The great supreme being of the universe cares for you and for me. Sometimes we get to thinking that He's forgotten us. Some of our little trials, I mean little trials. But when we stop and think of God's overrulings on our behalf, we see that He does care for us. Our Lord Jesus said that we could come unto Him and that He would give us rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's Matthew 11:28-30. Remember that when our Lord called His disciples, He sent them out. He says in Luke 21:17-18 that they would be hated of all men for my name's sake, but that not one hair of their head would perish. And in Isaiah 49:16, God says that we are actually graven on the palms of His hands. He has us that close to Him. You are continually before me. But what about our love for one another? What about this same loving care that God has for us? Do we have it for one another? the Apostle Paul was a fantastic person. In today's religious environment, likely as not, he wouldn't have gotten very far. But in his day, and to all of us who have become acquainted with him through God's Word, he was probably one of the greatest examples of a true follower of Christ that we could find. And he gives us a beautiful picture of a body. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and says there that each individual part in this body has a vital function. And I like, in this 12th chapter, especially verses 24 and 25. He says, you know, our comely parts have no need. God hath tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which had lack, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. As God has this care for us, we should have the same care for each other. You know, we know that even those that are closest to us, we have care for. In 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the apostle here likens raising a family. And he says there's a responsibility to the parent of the family to raise his children in a proper manner. He said, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. He said, if you know how to do this as parents, I'm paraphrasing now, if you know how to do this as parents, then you'll know how to take care of the church of God. This is mainly given to the elders, the bishop, as it states in verse 1. This is a true thing that if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. But then he goes on to show the responsibilities. Now, I liken this same responsibility here that we would have one, that we should have one for another. We should rule each other in love, ruling well. Someone from this platform has already told us about Titus 3:8, that we must maintain good works. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, We have this thought that when we go about doing these good works, we must perform it with a readiness of mind and heart and will. God is looking for you and for me to be willing to not only start our job, our three C's with a full committal, not only to communicate with one another well, but to have this same care in performing it for all. He looks at it from this standpoint. He said there has to be, in verse 12, he says, there has to be first a willing mind. And it is accepted then, according to that which a man has, and not according to that which he doesn't have. Now, what we get out of this is that each one of us has a responsibility. God is never going to ask more of us than we can perform. We can learn from these three C's. We must learn from these three C's. Let us make sure that as 1987 progresses, that we have made a complete committal to the Lord, to the truth, and to the brethren. And as we have the privilege which God has given, we didn't get it but ourselves, God gave us this privilege of entering into this relationship one with another. Let us learn how to communicate. And let's develop that care that He has given us. And if we do, my dear brethren, we will come off more than conquerors. Your schooling is not going to be for one day, or one week, or one year. It could be as much as 50, 60 years, or less. But we say this education of learning from God's Word will take our lifetime. And our lifetime may be just today. Let us learn well our three C's. And may the Lord bless each of you as you endeavor to do so.
Brother Carlton, those words on the three C's, commitment, communications, and caring. Now, Brother Carlton, we'll close with hymn 267. And after that, we'll ask Brother Carlton to both close this service and ask the blessing on the evening meal, which will be served across the lobby in the dining room. And I have not had word yet of how soon they will be ready, so we may have some time for some fellowship before moving into the dining hall.
Again, our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee through the merits of Jesus, our beloved Lord and Savior, thankful that we have this privilege, this honor of meeting with Thy dear children, to have this fellowship and this wonderful arrangement that You have provided for us here. To learn of Thee, dear Father, and of Thy ways, and to learn one from another. We're thankful that we have our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus who set us this example, and for the holy ones of old who walked in the paths of truth and righteousness, and for their examples. And we desire, dear Father, that each day and each hour that You give us to tread this narrow way, we're thankful for this and ask for Thy continued care and guidance. We would ask now that as we go into the evening hour, that You will bless the food that has been
provided for us, blessed to our bodies, and bless the hands that prepared it. And bless our conversation one with another, so that it might be sweet and uplifting one to another. And that you will be with us in the further exercises of this evening and for tomorrow. These things we ask, dear Father, giving thanks and praise for all things through the merits of our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.